Good morning.
God's peace and His love to you in Jesus Christ.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're in the Gospel of John. And it's very interesting in John, a whole different Gospel than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? Just it's amazing the difference. Very deep, very spiritual. Talks a lot about life and light and who Jesus truly is and who He's not. And it's interesting in the Gospel of John, you know, all the Gospels have miracles. In John, there are seven miracles, actually called seven signs. And there are what's called seven I Am statements. We've had one before this where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And ego ami, which is the Greek for I am, is very significant. It has a lot of weight, a lot of importance that doesn't come through in the English language. And when you hear the word, I am, what does it remind you? Yahweh. I am who I am. When Moses said, well, who do I say is sending me? I'm not so good at this. He says, I am that I am. He's always the great I am, right? So when Jesus said that, His enemies knew very well what He was saying. That He is not bragging. He's just saying who He is, His identity. He's the bread of life. And today, I am the light of the world. And it's a great text. So may the Lord send His light upon us in a darkened age. And the darkness of this world can be absolutely overwhelming, right? Not to mention COVID and everything else that's going on in our lives. And I have to confess, as a social worker, sometimes it's crushing to see all the darkness that I see. And it can be easy to get depressed and anxious and even get stomach aches over stuff and just get messed up. We've got kids that are like older teenagers, autistic, really autistic, that are destroying windows and their houses and threatening to hurt or harm or kill relatives. And we try to take them to the hospital and the hospital turns them away because there's no room in the inn, no place for them. And it gets overwhelming, and then we have other stuff. So the darkness is all around us. But the good news is, as we're reminded here today, that Jesus is the light of the world. His light overcomes the darkness, John 1 talks about. And the darkness will not and will never overcome it, that light of Jesus. Amen? So we need that. I need that reminder. How many of you enjoy Christmas lights? I love Christmas lights. Christmas carols and Christmas lights, they're free. Well, the lights, somebody else does them for free. That's what I drive around and look at everybody else did. I don't have a house anymore, an apartment, so it's kind of nice. But anyway, it's enjoyable, isn't it? Except, you know what? I remember the older lights, they'd get all tangled. What a mess. Just throw them out and buy some new ones. Forget it, right? And just like our lives get tangled, we want the lights to plug in, our light, spiritual light. Our lives become a tangled mess. Our families, whatever, situations, relationships, and it becomes a real mess. And have you ever been in a power outage in the darkness and you can't find your flashlight? It's like, oh no, where's the flashlight? Where is it? I can't find it. Oh no, it's gone. And I really did have one. And here it is. Because the church gave this to us, remember? Remember that, Cindy? You got those for us for the church? I love this thing, except I lose it a lot because it's so small, but I love the light. And it reminds me that Jesus is the light of the world because it reminds me even on this. It talks about that, which is really cool. It says, Amazing Grace Church, Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is la luz. He is the light. Amen. Okay, so now I don't want to lose that again. Put it right there. But we lose our light, right? This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't you try to poof it out. I'm going to let it shine. But sometimes that darkness can be overwhelming. But we need the light of Jesus. I remember trying to put up... Oh, I was going to ask you. How many... We surveyed the congregation. How many love Christmas tree lights? How many like putting them up? Oh, one person. Boy, that's a glutton for fun. You don't mind, yeah. Two people out here in the front row. Okay. I don't like it, and especially on a ladder. My son, he's got this new house, a two-story house, and now his wife says, oh, now you can hang up lights, both floors, and it's a vaulted ceiling, so inside you can put up lights all the way to the top. And he goes, not happening. Yes?
I like putting them up because the more time that I get the grandkids,
Oh, okay, I'll tell that to my son. Well, they're a little young. Anyway, it's never too early. Well, anyway, the darkness can be depressing, but the light is incredible, the light of Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because Jesus, now remember the Feast of Tabernacles is what was going on here. And in John 7, it talked about Jesus talking about the water and the fact that He is the living water. And it's almost like one of the I Am statements, not quite. But anyway, so we had this thing with the ceremony of the water being poured over the altar, and Jesus said, I am the living water, and anybody who drinks from me will never be thirsty. And in part of that, we think of the ceremony. Of course, Jesus forgave the woman taking adultery. We talked about that last week. But in this ceremony, there's also a part of the service that talked about the light. And there were other religious festivals that had a lot of the significance of the light. And it's amazing that in this, it's really incredible, that near the temple, they had candelabras. Get this, and I had to read this three times, 75 feet tall candelabras that took 60 pounds of oil to be lit. It would shine off the walls of the temple, and the whole city would see this reflected light off the temple. That's amazing. That's a lot of light. And in Zechariah, I think you're doing Zechariah in your Wednesday class, right?
Yeah.
It talks about the fact that the significance of the light, but also reminds us that the light comes from the oil. That if you don't have the oil, the olive oil, you're not going to have the light. And it reminds me that unless we have the Holy Spirit, who is the oil of gladness and the anointing of the oil of the Holy Spirit inside us, we will not have the light of Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit desperately to keep that light shining, right? It's the fuel. Well, in this, in Zechariah, it talks about the fact that he has this vision, and I wanted to read it. It's from Zechariah 4. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me as a man is wakened from sleep. He says, what do you see? He said, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it with seven channels to the lights. And there were two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left. I heard one of my professors talk about this text. I'd never heard anybody preach on it before. And he talked about the fact that this is it shows the spiritual significance of being constantly supplied and full of the Holy Spirit so we have the fuel to be able to serve Him. So if you have that picture, you just picture in your mind a solid gold lampstand. So you got this gold lampstand that has all the light shining in it with a bowl on the top. So you have a bowl on top of the lamp and seven lights on it. So you got seven lights, you got the gold, the lampstand, and seven channels to light. So there's seven different ways, pipes, if you will, going to the light from all these, from the bowls and from the oil. And the idea is we need this constant supply of oil coming in over and over and to bring this bright light constantly. And the light would always be shining in the temple. And he says, do you not know what these are? He said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So if we want to keep shining our light, we have to be aglow with the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings that light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And He is that light, right? He's the light of the world. Matthew 5 talks about the fact that Jesus is the light of the world and tells us, let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. So we don't reflect our light like the moon reflects the light of the sun. We don't reflect our light. We reflect the light of Jesus constantly shining with that light. Because in the days of the Old Testament, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the light, the power, the radiance of God Himself was in where? The temple, the Holy of Holies, right? Only one place. Where is the glory? Where is the light? Where is the presence of God right now? Inside every Christian. We are a temple. Where we go, the glory of God goes. The light of God goes as long as we stay in the light. Which is really cool, right? It's really awesome. And so Jesus calls out, yes, I am the light of the world. Wow. And He certainly is. In this darkness, He says, that He that follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This isn't just any kind of light. This is the kind of light that brings life with it. It brings energy. There is a counseling technique or model or tool Christian counselors use called theophostic counseling. And what it is theo means God. Phostic is a word for light, photosynthesis, right? And it's bringing the light of Jesus into a person's dark lives and brokenness, and seeing Jesus and asking the Lord to reveal His light and His love and His glory into a very dark, broken situation. And it's fascinating. I wish there was more that happened, that kind of counseling. Because if you bring the light of Jesus into any situation, what's going to happen? If you turn on a light switch, where does the darkness go? It goes bye-bye, right? Thanks be to God. And we think about Christmas lights and even Advent wreaths. By the way, my home church, they had an Advent wreath with a candle of every day in Advent. So you'd have six candles and a big candle for Sunday and a huge Advent wreath, big circle with all those candles. And it was kind of fun as a kid. It started out with a few lights, a few candles, and then by Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, this whole Advent wreath was lit up, and I still have that memory seeing that. It was really cool. And so this, all the lights of Christmas and Advent wreaths and candles and worship remind us, in the Christmas tree itself, who is the real light?
Jesus.
And we can look at our lives. We don't want to bring artificial light, right? There are some people that have seasonal mood disorder where they get depressed because there's less light. And it gets dark early now, right? Like, what, a little after 5 o'clock? And it didn't rise this morning until about 7:20, something like that. Like, wow, shortened days. And some people are affected by a lack of light. Well, we all are affected by a lack of spiritual light. We all are, right? We live in a darkened world that's overwhelming and suffocating in that darkness. So we have to turn on the lights. Pastor Rick prayed with me yesterday. It really helped. Just, okay, things are going crazy. All right, calm down. It's going to be okay because Jesus is the light. And we need that pause and turn on the switch. Turn on the switch. We take that for granted, don't we? Just turn on a switch and we have light. And so Jesus says, turn on the switch. And He reminds us, because He says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I want to talk more about this, because this is important. It's an I Am statement. So I'm going to focus more on that than the other verses. We'll certainly get to them. But you think about how much in the Bible it talks about light. How much you asked? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a whole bunch of them right here. Just happened to notice that. Rise, shine, for your light has come, Isaiah says, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. That's from Isaiah 60. And in the Gospel of Luke, when Zechariah's baby was born, John the Baptizer, he said, you child shall be called a prophet of the Most High, and you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And so we pray that the light of Jesus will shine in the darkness of prisons, of jails, and in hospitals, nursing homes, that God's light would shine. Even though we can't go there, we can still be praying for people. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4 talks about the light of Jesus. It says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine on our darkness, made His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifest. So it talks about the light shining in cracked pots. And those cracks that we have, we all have those cracks, but that's okay because it lets all the light shine through. So people know, well, that's not Him doing this. It's got to be God, right? For all week, the disciples, did they have it all together? Hardly, right? But it gives us hope. So, well, if God can use them to change the world, that 12 group, that motley crew, then he can certainly use us, right? So it gives me comfort, right? There's hope for us. There's hope for me, even though we have our failures. From 1 Peter, it talks about this. It reminds us who we are in Jesus Christ, who the church really is. It's more than just sitting in a chair. It's a whole lot more. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you've not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So did you see that? He says that God called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. How many of you lived in a lot of darkness in the past? Addiction, alcoholism, craziness, right? All kinds of darkness. The darkness was there, but He pulled you out. He called you out of the darkness, right? Into this marvelous light. That word marvelous means just incredible. Awesome. The glory of God. There was a person in our church that saw an angel in our service. And I've never seen an angel. I felt God's presence, never seen one. And she said, it was this man shining in light, raising his hands toward the altar in praise to God. And that's what angels do. They worship with us in this glorious light. And where is God enthroned? In light in heaven, right? Yeah, unapproachable light. But we have a little bit of that light right now in our dark hearts. We let the light of Jesus shine and burn as a torch into more and more of that hot flame. As the Bible says, be aglow with the Spirit. We want that light of Jesus, right?
I got an angel said,
absolutely. Amen. All right. All right. Okay, let's move on here. We better move on real quick. Real quick. What? Oh, we got to go there? Oh, gee. Oh, boy. This good. We got quite a church here, don't we? Yes, we do. Amen. That's great. So the light, where's your light? Another thing about flashlights is that I have probably 5 or 6 of them. Can I ever find them, though? No. Like just 2 of them. I know. Do they have little legs that they can walk? I could have sworn I have them all, 2 in the bedroom, 2 in the front here, in case, and 1 in the car, because you never know, right? And then it comes to the point where I really need it. The battery's dead, yes, or I can't find them. So, a lot of people are active in church and then they get away from it. They forget where do I find that light again? Where'd it go? Where'd the light go? And we want to scream out and cry out, like, can't find it. I need it now. You know, if the lights are on, there's no problem. Somebody just shined a flashlight at me, Zach. But the light, we need to find the light and not wait until we're in the crisis. Say, Pastor Rick, help, I need light now. Bring it on. We need to keep living in that light, right? And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, then the Pharisees, you think they can just shut up about that? No, they're going to challenge Jesus. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Like he's appearing as something. You know, have you ever talked to someone, they're appearing to be something they're not, someone they're not, right? It's like, oh, this is so phony. It's just like, come on, you think we can't see through that? And they're thinking, you're phony. We know that you can't be the Son of God. Oh, really? Anyways, your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. You know how few people really know where they came from and where they're going? A purpose-driven life? Do they know what their purpose is? That's pretty sad, right? Well, Jesus knew where He came from, obviously, from the Father, from eternity, right? And where He's going. Where's He going to go? Back to the Father. What a homecoming that must have been when Jesus came back on Ascension Day and the angels. Can you imagine the homecoming? Wow. So He knew where He came from, where He's going. And it makes a big difference in our lives if we know where we came from and where we're at now and where we're going with Jesus. Then He's going to hold us by the hand and take us where He wants us to go eventually into the glorious light of heaven, right? What a day that will be. But in the meantime, there's suffering, there's pain, there's darkness, and He calls us to live in that light. He says, but you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Boy, that's the truth. When you think about all the things they talk about, you know, they go, where's your father from? And it's just all kinds of stuff. They had no clue. He says, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. The main role of Jesus is what? The word Jesus means this. Savior. Jesus is our Savior. And the angel said, you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. That's His number one job description. Yes, He judges in a sense, but He mostly comes to save, not condemn. He is your Savior. For behold, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You have a Savior. I have a Savior. And isn't that wonderful? That's good news. That brings light, right? In this Christmas season, despite COVID and everything else going on, there is a Savior. There is a Lord. There is a God. There is light. Amen. Can you imagine trying to go through this craziness of 2020 without the light? I can't. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, yesterday driving? Oh, man, I went out one time to see my daughter. And it's kind of interesting because we're pulled up to Walmart. I hate going to Walmart except 7 o'clock in the morning. I love going then. It's the only time I like going. Can't stand it. So it's the afternoon, and Christine needs her meds and needs to help go to Walmart and need to take her. She said, just park over here. So there's a little entrance, right by the entrance, and you're supposed to park there. And then the last minute, she says, oh, I can't find my mask. And we're sitting there, and people are lined up behind me, honking their horns at me. I feel like it's her fault. She doesn't have her mask, and I don't like, I'm sorry, I'm holding you all up. She wasn't ready. It's like, come on. Anyway, I hate Walmart, and I've said that enough. But anyway, she was not prepared. And there's a lot of people not prepared with what's going to happen, and more than just the mask, that's for sure. If they need the protection of the Holy Spirit, of the angels, of God, that's what we really need, even more than anything else. But anyway, he says, I don't judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. So you've got, remember this, after 3 years of seminary, the disciples, the last night before Jesus was going to be crucified, what does Philip say to Jesus? Well, if you just show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied. What an insult. After 3 years, right? Well, if you show us God, then we'll be satisfied. Like, we're not satisfied now with you, Jesus. No offense, but you're not enough for us. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. We are one. And from eternity, God wasn't lonely before He created people, right? He had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He had the angels. And it says, let us make man in our image. He wasn't talking to Himself. He wasn't talking to angels. He was talking within the Trinity. Three persons and one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this intimate love relationship from eternity. Blazing hot passion and fire and love. Perfect holiness. And God calls us to be part of that. He wants us to be one with the Father only through Jesus Christ. Who becomes the light of the world when? When He died on the cross. On that dark Good Friday, but then on that sunrise of Easter Sunday, which I know, Donna, you like so much, those sunrise services, we say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's not just Christmas season, it's also Easter, because Christ is still on the throne. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. So He says, I'm the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked Him, where's your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Well, the world thinks, coexist with all these religions. It doesn't matter. We all have the same Father and all that's garbage. But unless they know Jesus, they don't know the Father. That's in the Bible. That's true. There's no other way except through Jesus. And it says, He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one sees Him because His hour has not yet come. Time's not up, right? Wasn't God's timing. And Jesus talks about later in this chapter that many put their faith in Jesus after they heard these words. The Word of God is powerful, right? It really is, and it brings so much light And we take that two-edged sword into the darkness. It pierces through the darkness, and we bring that light of Jesus into situations. Have you ever had a chance to pray with somebody and you felt like the lights just suddenly came on? It's just like, oh, your perspective changed. Everything changed. Or you just felt a touch from God, or a human touch of someone laying hands on you. There's nothing like it, right? We can do that for one another. So we pray, Lord, cast out the darkness in all of us. We all have the darkness, and sometimes in this world we can be like Elijah and feel like we're the only one and depressed and living in darkness. But Lord, help us to run to the light, to your light, to your grace, to your forgiveness, and to the life you give us. We thank you, Lord, for this light, especially this time of year. Shine, Jesus, shine. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. In Jesus' name, amen.